What's going on, guys? Wednesday, September 6th,
also known as... Do you smell that?
Oh, I just know that. I don't know why I know that, but I know it.
I smell football.
Oh, baby. I smell rain, but I smell football, too. Oh, man. I mean...
It's like... It's supposed to rain for a lot of games, I feel like. At least according to Sleeper.
I did see that, but it doesn't matter for fantasy. You're playing your guys week one. I don't care.
No, yeah, but I'm talking about like DraftKings type stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know football starts tomorrow, but I feel like my real like Christmas morning moment is Sunday at like 10 a.m. for us. I mean, yeah, it's cool. We got a football game tomorrow, but once I hear Scott Hansen. I always, you know who Chris Hansen is though, right?
Chris Hansen. Why do I know that name?
The Catch a Predator dude. I always get Scott Hansen and Chris Hansen messed up. But once I hear Scott Hansen's voice Sunday at noon, oh baby, we're back.
Yeah, this will be my first year with actual Red Zone. So I'll be hearing that voice come noon.
Welcome to the 1%.
The 1%ers. I'm glad I'm a 1%er in some aspect of this world.
You made it.
I did.
But on today's show, we got our Super Bowl predictions. Last year, we did our real predictions and then a dark horse matchup, whether we want to see it or teams we just think could make it. So, and then we usually do our breakdowns. But again, you drafted your teams. You're going to play the guys. You don't give a shit what we have to say week one. So I just wrote down like a kind of a narrative or what I'm excited to look for each matchup.
Yeah, I try to do one per team. Sometimes there's none in one matchup for a team and two on that other team, just because I felt like some teams we know what's really going to happen, so I'm not really interested in what happens. But the other team had multiple things, so yeah, I kind of did the same thing. I'm looking forward for obviously towards the fantasy aspect.
Sure, I didn't even go fantasy around. I just did one narrative. Per matchup, so just one team, but
okay. Most of mine is fantasy. Is more fantasy related.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Then I like that. We got a couple pieces of news though. This broke less than 24 hours after last week's episode dropped. But T.J. Hockenson, 4 years, $68.5 million extension with the Vikings, largest contract in history for a tight end. I feel like every contract that signs right now is just largest contract in blank. Position history. So
good. Well, yeah, I mean, they just keep, the NFL, the salary caps just keep growing and growing, so we're going to keep seeing this. I saw a tweet, this was a couple weeks ago, that the salary cap is going to be over $300 million per year coming up in the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, I think it's at like 275, somewhere around there. So within the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to jump up to an extra 25-30 million. So we're just going to keep seeing this. NFL is literally going nowhere. It's just going to keep growing.
Inflation's getting everybody.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa signed today. I'm pulling up his stats, right? Or his contract negotiation.
Yeah, 5 years, $170 million. My dad, he's now the highest paid defensive player. I mean, edge rushers are definitely guys that I give it to. But, man, I believe that's, what, $38 million a year?
Yeah,
but he has the most sacks since I think 2020 or something. The most pressures, most tackles for loss. So he definitely does deserve it. And he'll be ready for Week One now on Sunday.
I mean, yeah, he's the highest paid defensive player, and he's arguably the best defensive player. So yeah, good for him.
Micah Parsons will soon break that. So
yeah. We got a couple injuries, of course. Two big names in the first round, maybe second round.
4-1 out. One isn't bad. One isn't that bad.
So we'll start with the lesser of the two. Travis Kelce hyperextended his knee. He is still questionable for tomorrow night, but I would be shocked if he's active.
Yeah, if I'm the Chiefs, I don't play him just because they'll have 10 days of rest with them playing on Thursday this week. And it was him being 34-ish years old. Let him rest. Like, this game does – it obviously matters in the NFL. Every game does. There's only 17 of them. But It's week one. You're defending Super Bowl champs. You're looking at bigger picture. I'd personally not risk it unless he's like, no, I'm 100% good to go. Doctors approved. But if he's even 70-30, I'm sitting him.
Are you a Kelce owner in any league? I forget, because I am not.
No, I mocked him for the first time ever in a lot of, you know, in some different leagues. And I did a draft last night, a really weird one, that I was going to take him at the 104. It was an 8-man league, very weird. But then the news broke. I'm like, oh, I'll get him in a second. And he was taken before me.
I hate to see it. I mean, if you are the Kelce owner and there's shit on waivers, we'll reference Cooper Kupp in a minute, but go pick up Tyler Higbee and play him week one.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's going to see 10 targets. Cooper Kupp ruled out for week one. There's a possibility he's placed on IR. We were worried about this, but I don't want to sound the red alarm here, but this makes me nervous. I don't have Kupp in any league, thank God, but if this injury continues to linger on, that's not great.
This is red alert for me. I had spoke on this before when it first happened, that with his age and the injury, he has a 20% chance of Well, he did it before the season even starts. So, and the only way to fix hamstring problems is just to rest. So, he is 30, 31 years old. It's even if he's not on IR, I'm expecting him to pull it again and then just be possibly just done for the year. So, again, it's kind of that thing where, like, the Rams probably aren't competing, but you're not just going to waste Cooper Kupp again. You're paying them so much money. But I think the best case for fantasy owners is that they put him on IR for 4 weeks. That way he's at least rested for 4 weeks, and hopefully he's back to 100%.
I know. I just pulled up their schedule and wanted to see when their bye week was out of curiosity. Not till week 10. So
I believe it was later.
Yeah, so that's not really a possibility. You said you're waving the red, or your alarms are sounding. If someone's willing to trade him for a little less than what he's worth, are you trying to target him anywhere or no?
I don't. I mean, like, give me some players that, let's say, give me some players, and I'll tell you who I'd rather have. Because if Cooper Kupp is out for 4 weeks and he comes back, and if I know he's 100%, I mean, he's going to average more points per game than probably all but five wide receivers, possibly.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you. But the question, that was a big if he comes back healthy, if he's out 4 weeks. So let's say this is just redraft. I have Amari Cooper, and I want your Cooper Kupp.
Probably do that. I think I would just bank on Cooper Kupp, because Amari Cooper was a fourth round pick. So I hopefully have another wide receiver, if not two. And Amari Cooper is my flex. There is a possibility he's my wide receiver too. But I would do that just because Cooper's upside, you know, is, you know, in full PPR, 13, 12 points a game, where Cooper Kupp's is 18 to 20.
Oh, so you're saying you would keep Kupp?
I would keep Cooper Kupp.
Okay. Let's tier up then. Let's go if I'm offering T. Higgins for your Cooper Kupp.
I think I would probably still keep Cooper Kupp. I think just because my reasoning is T. Higgins, he's a wide receiver two on his team, so he's not going to demand 12, 13 targets a game like Cooper Kupp can. He has not owned, like, again, he's number two on the team behind arguably a top three wide receiver in the league. So I'd probably still keep Cooper Kupp.
Last guy I'll mention before we move on here, Davante Adams, wide receiver one with the Jimmy G as a quarterback.
I would rather have Davante Adams.
Okay, I just wanted to see where the break was, and there it was.
Yeah, I'd rather have Davante. Davante's going to see 150 targets, something that the first two guys, for sure T. Higgins won't see. Amari Cooper, maybe, but probably more like 120, 130. So, yeah, I'd rather have – I know I'm going to get 10 targets a game from Davante, and a quarterback who – can produce top wide receivers in fantasy.
Yeah, I would agree. Adams is just way safer. If Kupp injury didn't exist, Kupp is safer, but
right.
I agree.
Speaking of the Raiders, what do they do? What are they building over there? They just freed up $17.5 million from restructuring Jimmy G's contract.
I did not see that. You get Raiders notifications or something?
No, it was it broke, I think, yesterday or this morning.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're building, what they're doing.
I mean, if I'm the Raiders, I'm probably tanking for a quarterback, but yeah.
That's a lot of money, and I think they had a good amount in cap space.
Speaking of quarterbacks, did you see the news about Caleb Williams today?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Caleb Williams is still in college, quarterback for the USC, Heisman front runner. Heisman winner last year. He is eligible for the draft after this year, but now that the new NIL deals are in place, he's making money off ads and sponsors. He's basically said that he didn't say that he didn't want to go to the Cardinals, but he said that with NIL deals in place, if the situation isn't right, I always have the fallback option of staying for my senior year in college. So if I'm the Cardinals and I've been seeing all the mock drafts of Harrison and Caleb Williams, top two picks, and he comes out and says that, I'm like, fuck.
I mean, like, does he just think next year's first overall pick or the team has the first overall pick is going to be good? Like,
right. No matter, the
NFL does not have a lottery unless there is a trade, which for a guy like Caleb Williams, we saw what the Panthers gave up for a 5'10", 170-pounder Bryce Young for the next generational quarterback, the next Patrick Mahomes. Teams are going to be giving up a lot. And do you really want to go to that team then that has to give up a lot for you?
With no future, no coach. Yeah, that's not a great
system. Like,
if you're the number one pick, no matter where you go, you're going to go to a shitty situation. It's just the cards you're dealt.
Yeah. I'd rather get injured in the NFL because my contract in the NFL, yeah, it's going to be like for quarterbacks, I think they're what, $35 million for their 4 years. Like, that's more than your NIL deal, Caleb. Like, come on now.
I don't know how much NIL deals are worth, but yeah, I would assume that's not that much.
I think he's like $4 million.
But yeah, before we move on, we're Packer Bear podcast first. Are we concerned about Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, hamstring injuries? 3 days out?
I mean, yeah, like we said, hamstrings, the best way to recover them are time. You know, Christian Watson came out literally today out of nowhere. Romeo did not play in the last preseason. I mean, if they're both out, there are no pass catchers. I think Sammy Toure is the only pass catcher that has a touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, Aaron Jones, I'm talking about receivers. So, yeah, very – not something you want to see week one with already a young wide receiver core and inexperienced quarterback. It's definitely worrisome. But I think Watson will be out there of the two of them. Romeo, I don't know. He's been dealing with it for a little bit longer, and they're going to be cautious. But if they're not there, I'm not going to have high hopes for week one.
Yeah, I'm still, as a Bears fan, I'm still just nervous. I don't care who's playing, who's not playing. It's just how it's always gone my whole life. Packers have beat up on the Bears. So I really have no expectations this game. We'll be watching together. I'll be the only Bears fan at the party, and it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers have won in the past with Devontae Adams being gone, and I think Lazard missed a couple of games, but that was with Aaron Rodgers. If Jordan Love had played, you know, if this was his second season, I'd be like, okay, that's okay. But his first legitimate start, you know, second actual, that's a little worrisome. And you just don't – it just sucks sending, you know, you want him to keep his confidence high. Really hard to do when he doesn't have – any experienced receivers out there.
Right. The narrative is not great. It's one thing to start a game knowing, you know, you're the backup, Rodgers is coming back. It's another thing to start the year as the only quarterback in your quarterback room, damn near. You're the guy. Week one, coming into Chicago.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking crazy atmosphere with all the hype Chicago's getting right now. It's maybe without one of your top two receivers and Dobbs, it's gonna be an interesting game for him.
Yeah, I mean, if he can pull out that win, I think that is gonna give him so much confidence for the rest of the year. You just hope if they don't win, that it doesn't diminish it right away. And hopefully those leaders on the Packers can, you know, obviously pick them up and be like, hey, what'd you kind of like not expect, but we still got right. you, you're fine. But we're still a couple days out. I'm still hopeful that one of them will be there, if not both.
Okay. Well, let's get into the narrative. So tomorrow's Thursday night game, NBC primetime. Chiefs hoisting up the – getting the rings, hoisting up the banner. I wrote down which – this is before the Kelce injury. I wrote down which Chiefs receiver emerges in this offense. Last year, it was nobody. This year, they drafted another rookie receiver in Rashee Rice. You got Rice, Sky Moore. Tony's coming back. He's going to be playing. I don't know who's going to emerge in this offense. I don't think anybody's going to be super fantasy relevant. I just want to see if anyone is going to, you know, going to get 700, 800, 900 yards and one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah. If I had a bet, I think I would just go with Sky Moore, second round pick. I mean, they say that Andy Reid's offense is hard for rookies to catch on to. So I'm not going to bet on Rashee Rice because we saw what Sky Moore did last year, which was nothing. But I think I would pick him, just that second-year kind of gadget receiver. And, you know, he's at least been a healthy guy. Tony, he's probably going to get hurt by the second quarter.
Yep.
But for me, my biggest thing that I'm looking for is this game is the Gibbs and Monty. You know, what are they going to look like? They're definitely going to be on the field at the same time, but – is Gibbs going to be used as a wider receiver more than running back? Who's getting those goal line opportunities, the third and ones? Can they both be valuable together? And so that's what I'm going to be looking at and looking for.
I know. That was the pretty much the obvious choice for me, but I assumed you were going to go that route, and I beat the Gibbs drum so much this offseason. It's just I'll let you have that one.
Yeah, I have him in one – one to get him in was just at least one just with the hype. But yeah, I mean, it's a great offensive line. It's going to be a high scoring game. And you know, how is this pass catching elite running back going to get the opportunities right away?
Yeah. I you only have him in one, cause I have him in the rest of the league. So I have a lot of chips in the pot for Gibbs here. So, Panthers Falcons here going right down the line. I just close your eyes for a second. Picture Matt Stafford on that team. Picture Kirk Cousins on that team. You have Pitts, London, and now Bijan Robinson. The narrative is obviously, how does Ritter perform? Can we finally just have a quarterback for these two star-studded weapons, get these guys up to Pro Bowl status like they deserve? Can Ritter please just be serviceable?
Yeah, that I wrote the same thing for the Falcons. For the Panthers, it's their new running back. He is in Miles Sanders. They've been saying all offseason they want to use him in the passing game. He's a three-down back. Is that the case? Is he out there on third downs? If he sees 5+ targets and he gets, you know, 15, 17 carries, I am going to be so glad I'm all in on Miles Sanders mm-hmm. this year. So for me, I'm watching, is he getting targeted? And it's tough when you have a rookie quarterback. So that's what I'm looking for on the Panthers side of the ball.
Yeah. Is it just me, or did like the Sanders hype go from like April to like June, and like nobody's been talking about him the past couple months?
He's been, you know, a little banged up. You know, when guys don't play in the preseason, when they go to those new teams, you forget about them after they get signed. So it was so hype early on, all the hype train. But we haven't seen him in the preseason. He had the groin injury. They were never concerned about it, but he's ready to go. So yep. he's kind of fallen a little bit in people's minds, which, you know, I think he still has great upside. I think RB15 is honestly his floor. I think his ceiling is probably like, you know, 9 or 10. I don't think he has a wide range.
Yeah, sleeper marked him from questionable to healthy today, so he's good to go.
Oh, I saw that. I had a smile. I think I have him like three leagues. It might even be four.
Bengals, Browns, I wrote, does Watson return to his old self, and will Chubb be involved in the passing game? We had a couple weeks there where there was a lot of Chubb hype, getting him more involved in the passing game. If he catches 40, 45, 50 passes this year, you can almost lock him in for an RB3 or better finish.
Yep, that's what I wrote too. Again, I didn't write anything for the Bengals because I know what the Bengals are going to do. They didn't have an interesting offseason or anything. So I'm just focused on Nick Chubb. Can he see targets in this offense, what they've been saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as – let's hop over to the Bengals. As far as Joe Burrow goes, you have him in our main dynasty league. He's said he's good to go. You're starting him no problem, right?
Yeah, I'm starting him just because my other option is Anthony Richardson. So I will take a 85% Burrow compared to a 100% Richardson in his first ever start.
Down the year or down the line here, coming, you know, weeks 10 through 18, if Richardson pulls the field special last year, you're going to have a hell of a time picking quarterbacks.
I am, and I'm going to pick wrong every time.
That's okay. I'm already in that conundrum with my running back room in our dynasty league. I switched it today. I'm going Pacheco over Antonio Gibson. So,
You just hyped up Gibson too.
I did. I think now that Pacheco's off the injury report, I'm picking the better offense.
Okay.
Jaguars Colts. Two words.
We probably have I have both things for the Jags. I wrote one for the Colts.
Two words. Calvin, period, Ridley. Does he emerge as the true wide receiver one instantly? I think the answer is yes.
Yep. I wrote Ridley's involvement, and more for the non fantasy side, can the Jags be dominant? They are projected to win this division. Some people have them as sleeper Super Bowl contenders. Can they be dominant in a game that they're supposed to win and do it and just a dominant force?
Yeah, you hear the hype train behind me.
I hear it.
Whitewater loves the Jags hype this year.
I hear it. And then my second thing, for the Colts, I said Anthony Richardson, his rushing attempts. You know, JT's gone, and I don't care about this backfield really at all. It's going to be by a committee, so I don't care. For me, is AR going to be rushing the ball? And is he going to be rushing it like Josh Allen on the goal line?
Yeah, I mean, going back to the backfield, I don't give a shit about this backfield either. I even dropped Deion Jackson on a dynasty. Like, that's how much I don't care about him.
Yeah, and he's projected like double digits, but I'm like, I'm not touching it. I'll be wrong on a third string running back.
When the coaching staff said they're going to come out and ride the hot hand. So you can't trust anything.
Yeah, so I'm out.
Buccaneers Vikings, is the Madison hype real? You know, easy matchup, they should be leading the whole game. Was Madison the obvious choice right in front of us? He's been my guy where I've just been the whole year perfect. If I'm wrong on him, fifth, sixth, seventh round, I don't care. If he has a top 10 finish, that's fine, good for him. I couldn't do it, couldn't pull a trigger.
I know
here.
I could never pull the trigger on him when I probably needed to. Like, hey, I needed RB2. Yeah, let's see if he comes back one more round.
Yeah, that's kind of how.
And he never did. For me, for the Vikings, it's because I have a lot of shares of him. It's Jordan Addison. You know, we saw Justin Jefferson when he came out as a rookie. His first 4 or 5 games, they weren't great. People were dropping him for some reason in redraft, obviously not dynasty. But can Addison kind of take over that wide receiver 2 role right away, and with this heavy, high scoring offense, a lot of passing attempts? That's what I wrote down for the Vikings.
Well, it's going to be a big start sit question for week 1 if we have some coming through the weekend here. You have in a couple leagues.
I'm starting him right now just because, you know, in our dynasties, I have, you know, JSN, Zay Flowers, you know, Zay Flowers and him. I wouldn't mind. I've gone back and forth on, but I can't start JSN right now. Well, who is expected to play week 1 for anyone who knows?
Well, KJ Osborne is still listed as the second receiver on that depth chart, so I would be a little cautious to play him. Would you play, let's say, Brandon Cooks or Jordan Addison? Both wide receiver 2 is on their team, but
yeah, man, they play Giants a couple ways.
They do play the
night.
Giants Sunday night.
Yeah, man, and you haven't seen either of them play with this offense.
No.
I think I would take the younger first-round draft capital and Jordan Addison. They went out and they got him. I think I would go Addison.
What about like a Cortland Sutton?
I'd probably go Cortland just because since Judy probably isn't playing.
He's still listed as questionable too. For some, I don't know why.
If I would be shocked if he plays, but I would probably go. I'd go Sutton just because it should be a wide receiver 1 compared to a wide receiver 2.
Okay. Yeah, Jordan Addison's the one guy I'm like, I don't have him anywhere, but I'm like, ooh, this would be tough. Like,
I know.
In a 2-3 flex league, like, ooh, I don't know if I want to roll him out there week one, but yeah. you have to.
Yeah. Well, you watch anything for the Bucks at all, or?
I didn't write anything down. Did you?
I just wrote, they're passing, their offense has been Tom Brady slinging it 40, 45 times. What's Baker going to be doing? Is it just going to be 25 times and then offense, the pass catches are kind of irrelevant?
I know.
Or is it going to be 30 to 33 times?
Right. I have Godwin in a couple leagues, and I'm kind of nervous for him. But at the same time, we've seen Baker slinging around. Like, the passing attempts will be there. It's just a quality. I don't know.
Right.
Can Mike Evans get 10 straight years with 1,000 yards? We shall find out.
I hope so. I think that's really cool.
I think it is cool. I think it's too. Titan Saints, all I wrote was, can Michael Thomas stay on the field? Because if he can, I think he's a fine fantasy flex play all year.
Yeah, we've seen Carr have, multiple top five fantasy finishes. He's been able to do it with Crabtree and Amari Cooper years ago. Yeah. He came out and balled those first 2 weeks and then got hurt again.
Right. Obviously, we all know Chris Olave is in line for a top 12 season. If he stays healthy, but I'm excited to see if Michael Thomas can come back for another year or two and be fantasy relevant.
Yeah, I wrote for the Saints is, what we loved about Olave last year in the first couple of games were those deep balls.
Yep.
And that's what Derek Carr was great last year with Adams. Can that transfer to Olave? If it does, top six wide receiver this year.
Top six, marking it
If those deep balls connect, like what – he was what Olave was missing and they just weren't connecting on with Winston and what Carr was doing with Adams. If that can transfer over, we're going to see a 1500 yards and 12 touchdowns from a guy, maybe 9 touchdowns. Like, I think the ceiling can honestly be a top 5, top 6 wide receiver this year for him.
Okay. I can't imagine you wrote anything for the Titans, but
I just said, is Henry still getting 25 rush attempts a game? Like, is he going to slow down at all?
The answer is going to be no.
Okay.
Niners, Steelers. I wrote down, I'm looking at everything Pittsburgh. Does Pickett look like he can make a jump? I'm looking for the Najee versus Jaylen Warren usage. Is the Pickens hype real? There's a lot of fucking question marks on the Steelers offense.
People are loving the Steelers after their preseason. Pickett was the number one PFF quarterback in preseason, I believe. He was airing it out, which he didn't do last year. They upgraded their offensive line for Najee. Jaylen Warren was really explosive. Najee, a full offseason after the injury. So many question marks. It sucks that they're going up against the Niners defense.
With Bosa now.
With Bosa, because it might not get answered. And honestly, I hate saying this because, the one bad thing about doing a fantasy podcast is we tell our secrets.
Mm-hmm.
We tell what we're doing. I'm not expecting the Steelers to be great this first week. So I'm going to be targeting Steelers after week one.
Okay. You're not the biggest Pickens fan. Does that include Pickens?
If he sees a lot of targets, then maybe. But I just don't think he's that great of a wide receiver. So no, I'm more Deontay, which I have him, I think, for sure in one, maybe two leagues. But Najee, I want to try and secure. Maybe I trade up for a Pat Freiermuth got screwed on the tight end position. I'm not really in on Pickens, but if he gets like 10 targets, then maybe I will, but I'm trying to target a couple Steelers after week one because I could see people just be like, oh, same old Najee gets me 10 points.
Right. No. Yeah. Najee has a couple tough matchups to start the year. Don't sit him by any means unless you have to, but just know you're not going to get the best production the first couple weeks.
Yeah, and for the Niners, I didn't have anything written down. I've had most of this done for the past couple of days, but now I'm hearing that they might not use McCaffrey. That they're going to try and do a more committee. Obviously, McCaffrey's still the RB1, but they want to save him. They don't want to give him 20 rushing attempts a game and you know, seven targets. You know, they want to use Elijah Mitchell. So I kind of want to see how this first week looks like, if that's all smoke. So I will be watching that just a little bit, because at the end of the day, it is still Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, in 5 years, every team's going to be RBC. So it's just, it's only a matter of time.
You're right.
Cardinals Commanders. I'm excited to see how Sam Howell
looks. Oh, baby. UNC.
I'm not going to lie. Spoiler alert. If you guys are in a Survivor pick'em pool, I do have week one Commanders over the Cardinals. Cause you know, if you know how a Survivor pool works, you can't pick, once you pick one team and you move on, if you move on, you can't pick that same team again. So I'm trying to save my good powerhouse teams for down the stretch. I mean, again, it could come back and bite me in the ass. I could be knocked out week one, but
right.
I think the Commanders, the hype, they looked decent enough in the preseason. Even if Terry's not back for week one, I think Dotson, you know, I also wrote down, can he elevate Dotson to a top 24 receiver? I believe so. I think this the Commanders offense is mediocre enough to at least get past the Cardinals.
Yeah, I went back and forth. I did go Ravens. Ravens are in such a tough division, and that's six games. I'm not going to pick them to win. And they're playing the Texans, so I went the easy route week one. I just want to continue on. But my second choice was the Commanders and Cardinals.
What do you got written down for the Cardinals?
Cardinals, I just want to see James Conner. There's been a lot. He's been like that that RB dead zone. I liked his value a lot. Can he see those targets from terrible quarterback play? And if he does, I think he could be a league winner, honestly, if he's seeing all those targets. So that's what I'm going to be looking for.
I wouldn't go so far as to say league winner personally, but he can definitely be a solid piece on your championship squad that you weren't expecting and you got in the sixth, seventh round. So
Right. I mean, like, he's, you know, in our dynasty, obviously dynasty is a little bit different. He's my RB2. And if he can string along, you know, six targets a game from a running back, that's insane. And he's going to get all the rushing attempts. So I just want to see how much usage he is going to get in that passing game and get those dump offs from a unfortunately not good quarterback.
Top 32 offense in the league, some would say.
I might have a USC over them.
Texans, Ravens. I wrote, how does the Ravens offense look with their new offense coordinator and Lamar back on the field? I mean, did you have the same thing?
Yeah. Is there going to be a clear wide receiver one? We might not find that out week one, but I want to see who Lamar is looking at. Who's he checking it down to? And, you know, Mark Andrews too. Like, he's just practicing. I saw a clip of him. He looked a little slow today. He was doing a drill and, you know, maybe he wasn't going full speed, but he didn't look healthy in my eyes.
I mean, he hasn't practiced for the past couple weeks.
Right. For the Texans, it's kind of the same thing as all these RBs. It's Pierce catching the ball. It's just like, you know, Connor, Miles Sanders, you know, rookie quarterbacks. Obviously not Connor rookie, but Miles Sanders. Is he going to be involved in the passing game? If he's not, then what I've been saying all offseason will be true.
Yeah. Texans have anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get blown out.
Yeah. Packers-Bears, I wrote, Jordan Love, can he prove anything? And then I also wrote, Packers D-line versus Bears O-line. That's going to be the story of the whole game.
It's going to be O-line versus D-line, both sides is really what it's going to be. But I honestly just wrote QB play. These guys are both unproven, you know, as passers, obviously, but unproven. You know, Fields has his number one wide receiver now. They've had a great connection during, you know, from all reports from Bears camp. And he's going up against a tough corner in Jair Alexander. And like you said, yeah, that offensive line versus defense line, both sides of the ball, is going to be huge for this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears are missing one of their best in Tevin Jenkins, and I don't think the Packers are missing anybody on defense.
No, none on the D-line. I think Savage came back for practice today, so I think all their defensive guys are going to be playing. Rashawn Gary, quote-unquote, is going to be on a snap count, but they have Van Ness that they drafted. Wyatt, obviously, is coming off in his second year. So, yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing. And, you know, Wright making his first start at right tackle. you know, against a Rashawn Gary or Preston Smith, that's a tough, it's not a impossible ask, obviously. It could be, you know, Nick Bosa, but it's still a tough ask.
It is. It will be interesting. Raiders, Broncos, I wrote, will Sean Payton get Russ and this offense back on track? And then I wrote, Javonte with 3 exclamation points. Is he really healthy?
Yeah, I just wrote, Javonte. I don't care about the Raiders. Jacobs will get his. Adams will get his. That's really all I care about.
Yeah,
it's Javonte. Biggest thing right now. You know, in the beginning, you know, this offseason, April, May, June, you and I didn't want a single share of Javonte.
No.
And now all August, we want some Javonte.
Yeah, I mean, week one, I wouldn't be surprised if P. Ryan 60%, Javonte 40% with P. Ryan taking most of first and second down work. But at the end of the year, I truly do think talent will win if Javonte can stay on the field and, you know, trade buy low. If that truly does play out week one, oh my God, I'm going to try and buy Javonte in every fucking league.
Oh, yeah. But if he goes off, you ain't getting him.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Eagles, Patriots. I wrote, how will the Zeke signing affect Stevenson's workload? I did see a couple beat writers today actually post that Zeke's going to vulture some touchdown and goal line work and third down work. We kind of already figured that. But the question is, how much work is he going to vulture?
Yeah, my thing was just the short yardage usage for Stevenson. Don't care about any. I'm surprised Philly's only 4-point favorites.
Oh, I didn't see that. I haven't looked at much of the lines.
I am surprised that they're not at least a touchdown.
I mean, it is in Foxborough versus Bill Belichick. That's kind of tough, but
I get it, but they don't – all the receivers are hurt.
Kayshon Boutte season.
Yeah. For the Eagles, I wrote backfield. Who's going to get more than 8 carries besides Jalen Hurts? Like, who is truly – going to get more than 10 opportunities, including attempts and targets.
There might not be a single out of the four of them player that gets 10 opportunities. One might get 10 opportunities, but I don't think there will be a player getting 8 or more rushing attempts. Yeah. So, fuck that.
A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith to the moon.
Yeah, they're good. Play them. Dolphins, Chargers. In my opinion, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, that's the best 1-2 in the league. I wrote, can Tua compete with the AFC elite, the Herberts, the Mahomes, the Burrows, the Rodgers? Can Tua fucking stay on the field? And, you know, he's got the weapons to do it. The beginning of the year last year, I remember we were at the bar watching the absolute shootout Dolphins
that Raiders. Comeback that come from behind victory
that Dolphins it may have been the game of the year. That was a fun game to watch. Tua can sling the fucking ball. If he can stay on the field with those weapons, man, watch it. You could have stolen him in the double digit rounds for fantasy.
Yeah, I didn't really write much with Dolphins just because nothing's really happened. Obviously their backfield right now, it's Mostert. If he's looking like a steal for the first 3 weeks.
The questionable tag came off A-chain today.
Yeah, but he's so little, I don't really care.
Okay.
For me, it's Herbert. He had a lot of excuses last year, a lot of valid ones. Receivers hurt. He was hurt. O-line was hurt. He doesn't have that now. He has a new OC that's going to sling that thing. Receivers are healthy right now. O-line's healthy. Can he step up and get back to his rookie year and make an actual MVP run and a Super Bowl run? That's what I'm looking for. He has no excuses.
Until all his receivers get hurt again.
Until they all get hurt again, right. So I want to see – I wrote down checkdowns versus deep balls. I want to see, is he actually going to be airing this thing out, or is it just going to be checkdown to Eckler again?
Rams, Seahawks. How involved will Akers be? I mean, is he, just like Madison earlier, the running back sleeper of the year that everyone's been hyping him up to be and he was right in front of us? I personally don't think so. I think he'll be a middle to back end RB2, but
I like Akers.
I know you do. I don't as much as you. I don't. Cup is gone probably for the first week or two at least. He's going to get that target share. I mean, we like Higbee, we like Jefferson a lot, but I don't know. I just can't get myself behind Akers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how. He helped you win a he helped you win a championship last year.
He did. I only played him for 1 week. It was week 16. He was like the RB 2 or some shit like that. Yeah.
For me, I wrote both were for Seattle. Is Geno for real or was last year a fluke? They added JSN. They add another pass catching or a pass catching back in Sharb. He was the next person. The other thing I wrote down is Sharb's usage. But the main thing is Geno for real? Because if he is, this offense might be top five. Like, this offense can be very scary with DK, with Lockett, and with JSN. O-line's getting better. And like I said, Ken Walker is that, yeah, he's going to break them. He's going to break them. And Sharb is a pass catching and a goal line threat. This offense, if Geno is legit, can be top five. And we might be talking about this team in a little bit.
Whoa. All right. Me and Mason have not discussed this, but we might be talking about the Seahawks a lot in a little bit. Cowboys Giants. I wrote, how many targets does Waller get? Does he get 50 or more targets week one? Probably.
At first, I said, like, I heard 50. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, wait, for a week?
Yeah.
I got him in Dynasty.
He's one of them. He's both are my guys, and I unfortunately do not have him in any league, so.
Yeah. I wrote Pollard as well. You know, this team wants to run the ball more, and the Cowboys didn't get anyone. Is he going to be used a 70-30, or are they going to give him 50% and then mix it up? And then what's he going to be using the pass catching? I am – so excited for Pollard. He was a my guy for myself. And then I wrote down Waller as well.
And then Bills, Jets. I wrote, is James Cook the true RB1 on this team yet?
Yep, I wrote it too.
I hope the answer is yes. The answer should be yes, but who knows?
Yeah.
On the Jets side of the ball, I mean, you could say what you want about Rodgers. You can say what you want about Garrett Wilson. But at the end of the day, they're going to be good.
You could have said so many things, like, is Rodgers back to MVP form? Is Garrett Wilson going to be taking over that Davante Adams role? Hall and Cook, so many things.
Did you watch this last night's Hard Knocks yet or no?
Nope, I'll be doing that tonight.
Dalvin Cook looks good. Holy
does
shit.
Does he?
He does.
Well, I mean, you got to think, like, he was like, his legs are so rested, and it was a shoulder injury, which he always has. He should look good on for the legs.
Yeah, that's going to be a scary offense this year. But
yeah, they might do, you know, maybe later on in the season, have Breece Hall out as a wide receiver, kind of like what the Lions are going to do, and, you know, and have Cook in the backfield, because no linebacker can cover Breece Hall.
No. Save you on taking some hits throughout the year, too.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Save you from taking some hits throughout the year, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Super Bowl predictions. Let's go with our real ones first. So my real prediction for the AFC, this has to be chalk. Until the Chiefs get dethroned, it has to be the Chiefs. I don't know why you'd pick anybody else. And for the NFC, they were close last year. Even though I'm not a Purdy believer, I am an overall 49er believer. It's going to be red versus red. It's going to be chalk versus chalk. Chiefs 49ers. Me may not like it, but it's going to be a damn good game.
So I didn't know. I did Eagles in the NFC. I think their O-line is just so good. Two elite wide receivers, a really good tight end. Jalen Hurts is good at just what he does. He's not an amazing passer, but he doesn't have to be with his weapons. And they never changed the rule, so he's going to get 9 rushing touchdowns. So that offense is still great. Yes, they lost a good amount of pieces on defense. But they brought him back in the draft. I know they're rookies, but Carter was projected first overall pick before the incident happened. They got him at the 9th spot. The edge rusher, was it Nolan Smith, I think, out of Georgia? He was projected a mid-first-round guy. Got him in the end. And, you know, I think that this defense is still going to be amazing. So I'm going Eagles in the NFC. And I'm not going to Super Bowl repeat. I am not. I went with the Jets. I didn't know to put them for a dark horse or not. They were 16-1 odds, 4th in the AFC. I didn't really want, just because there's so much hype right now with obviously Hard Knocks and Aaron Rodgers, I didn't want to put them as a dark horse. Kind of felt like that was a little soft. Not real. I thought it kind of was.
Just wait till you hear my dark horse AFC.
Oh God! What, you to the Bengals? You're.
I did not.
But I just think this team was 7-10 last year with the worst quarterback play. Breece Hall was missed after week 7, I believe. He's healthy. Dalvin Cook is now here. Aaron Rodgers is back. They have Lazard, who he trusts, and the offensive line. That's the biggest question mark. This defense will be better, and they have money to spend for trade deadlines. I think they make a splash.
I think so too. I mean, I love the Jets pick. My dark horse is the Jets. You should have. Okay. You should have. I was gonna ask. I'm glad you brought that.
So up. I didn't mean to call you soft.
No, I was laughing because I'm glad you brought that up, because if it wasn't the Jets for your real one, I was gonna ask you like, is this a technicality? Like we said, we couldn't do just the top 5 teams: Chiefs, Niners, right, Eagles, Bills, and Bengals for the dark horse. And the Jets were higher than 10-1 odds. So I was like, I mean, it's technically within the rules.
I had them for both, and then I changed it.
I mean, yeah, the writing's there. This is going to be one of the best offenses, one of the best defenses. Rodgers gets back there, and I don't know if he wins it or not, but I have the NFC Seahawks. I do have the Seahawks as my dark horse team. Two NFC – wait, do you have the Seahawks or no?
Yeah, I literally said, well, we might be talking about them later.
And I said after that, oh, okay, we didn't discuss our Super Bowl predictions, but we might be talking about Seahawks later too.
You were – so when I gave them as a hot take winning the West, you laughed in my face.
This does not mean they're winning the West. I still think the 49ers will win the West.
Oh,
Seahawks will get the wild card. This might be the Jets Seahawks might be two wild card teams. Defense led by Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams, Diggs. You know, the line goes on and on, and you just hyped them up for a top 5 offense. I'm right there with you. If Geno is the real deal, I think the Seahawks take the next step from being bounced in the wild card round from the Niners last year, and you know they could bring it to the Super Bowl. If it's Jets Seahawks, it's probably Rodgers winning it with the Jets, but it would be a fun matchup.
Which who doesn't want to see that?
A lot of people.
I picked them last year from the AFC.
The Chargers.
I'm going it again. They were 5th, I believe, right after the Jets. They're right around it. I forget. I actually have it up right here. They are after. They're 25-1. So that's the dark horse. They're not going to win their division, probably. But again, they're healthy now. They still have Khalil Mack. They have the safety, Derwin James. They have guys on that defense. And we talked about the offense. If Kellen Moore can do what he's done for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, Herbert's has a huge legitimate chance of winning MVP. And this offense with these 3 receivers, this O-line, Austin Eckler, it's virtually almost unstoppable. So I'm taking the high upside of the Chargers offense against the high upside, multiple weapons of the Seattle offense in my dark horse Super Bowl.
Look at us. Big Seahawks fans this year.
I'm a believer in Seattle. I wanted a piece. I wanted DK. I wanted Lockett. I wanted JSN. It just, unfortunately, I think I got DK in one, but I got JSN in almost all of them.
You are a JSN owner in a lot of leagues.
I am, and I'm not really nervous because I only spent
Did you cut out there? Where are we at?
The heck just happened. Yeah, somehow.
Okay, are you?
Yeah, I've been here the whole time.
For some reason, you connected to Megan's AirPods, been laying on the table this whole time.
I did that like 50 episodes ago. I feel the pain.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm all in on JSN, and he only cost me a 9th round pick. So I'm not too upset if it doesn't pan out.
Yeah. So Chiefs 49ers for me, Eagles Jets for you, dark horse Jets Seahawks for me, and dark horse Chargers Seahawks for you. No love for the NFC North, South. AFC South. No love for the South at all. No AFC North.
No love.
After the train went by for the Jaguars, too. Come on.
I did think about them, but I don't believe in their defense.
I I knew I wanted to put the Seahawks as my dark horse, but I was going back and forth between the Jets, the Ravens, you know, I thought about the Chargers. So, yeah, the Seahawks have been locked in for me.
But yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. We're 24. Is it 7:30 or 7 game time start?
I think it's like 7:20. It'll probably start late because they're doing the whole ring ceremony.
We're 24 and a half hours away. I need pizza and wings tomorrow for this, hopefully, shootout.
I mean, as much as I want a shootout, I would also equally be happy with the Chiefs 40, Lions 6 game. So, well, I would. We'll see what happens.
That would be just hilarious.
I would laugh. I'd laugh my ass off.
As long as Gibbs and Monty, because I got Monty in Dynasty, as long as they do fine, I don't care.
But yeah, follow us Instagram, TikTok, YouTube at The Kneel Down. And next week, we will be talking about week one.
Are we going to be we'll have to discuss after this episode. Just a quick question I may have. We don't want to give the listeners any maybe hope for a possible episode later this week to discuss the games. Or, like, I guess we kind of did that a little bit today, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always the same thing with week one.
Yeah.
I personally don't look at any beat writers or any like start sit questions or anything.
That's fair.
Your guys are your guys for week one. I basically know who I'm starting, so.
Okay. So yeah, so we'll be back next week then.
Next week.
All right.
See you later.
See you then.